broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April 14th of the year of our Lord, 2018. The goal to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country remains in effect for our broadcast. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live 6 days a week. If you haven't heard, please spread the word. So I find it funny, we're in Syria with these national strikes. Donald Trump didn't ask Congress, but he did ask foreign nations, Britain and France to be exact. And well, they claim under treaty that Donald's got to do this. And hey, you know what? A treaty is, akin to the supreme law of the land. And therefore, I would point Donald to his internal check and balance, Congress, not to foreign powers for guidance, by the way. I would secondly say, it's interesting, we're going to go attack Syria for national security reasons. What about our own border? Leaks like a sieve. Kurt, any thoughts on that?
Well, he is, at least the president in recent days, has called up the National Guard, and there's a number of reports from different states, whether it's Texas, I think New Mexico, Arizona, even California has anteed up National Guard guys. They said in California they weren't going with any enforcement or whatever, so I guess they're just going down there for playing cards or whatever, but there are some reports that there'll be more of the National Guard at the border, and at least the Texans were pretty excited about it. I think the Arizonans were as well.
So do you support the effort to put the National Guard on the border, Kurt?
Well, I know that if you want to say it's to protect our national security, that I think you'd have a pretty good argument there. The whole standing army thing is a hard thing for me, but I recognize that we have evil guys, both inside and outside of our country.
Amen to that.
Both inside and outside of our government. And, I just hope that we can recognize the evil ones and try to avoid them and stop them. And then recognize the good ones and try to encourage them.
Amen to that. So I would say, no doubt we have a national security concern on our border. I would say I agree with you about the army thing. We need to get rid of the standing army we have in America. But Congress could authorize, and I'm a little concerned about Donald Trump authorizing this, but, Congress could authorize and fund troops at the border or, the National Guard at the border to stop a national security crisis. And I would support that personally because I do think we have a border crisis. I agree with Kurt. There's good guys everywhere, but there's bad guys everywhere too. And it's an epic battle between the two. That's for sure. But I would support troops at the border. I think that Donald ought to look to Congress for guidance and funding on this, not to foreign powers. But I do think that it is legitimate to protect our U.S. border. And that's the reason that I bring it up. Any final comments on that, Kurt?
Well, if I were to, choose, when you say Congress, I love to choose out of those Rand Paul, Mike Lee, maybe Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, a few others. But the problem is Congress is basically held hostage by what I'd call the kingmen, which is Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and crew. And so if I'm going to choose, to have President Trump or Congress figure out which one's right to do, then right now I'd probably choose President Trump.
Yeah, I would look to the Constitution for guidance. If we're going to fund
then the funding would come from Congress. Yeah, well,
let me frame this differently.
We had a really good Congress.
If we're going to educate people about how it ought to happen, we would look to the supreme law of the land, and I would say that we would look to Congress. Your point is that, if the system's broken, would we prefer President Trump protecting the border or not protecting the border? And I would agree with you that if that's the case, let's have him protect the border.
Yeah, and we had, for example, instances like this in the early days of our country with President Washington, I guess I shouldn't say president. He was the general of the armies.
Yes.
And he was basically being sabotaged from within, from our own leaders in our, the government that we had in place at that time, where we didn't deliver the goods to them as to supplies and that kind of thing. And it was just a mess. So it wasn't exactly Congress because we didn't have really Congress in place. But there's been instances in our history, and that's one I will cite where I would have said, hey, if George Washington, as the commander-in-chief, because that's what they put on him, to do it, I'd say, hey, I'd have him do it compared to the other guys that were so-called Congress at the time.
Yeah, so the debate gets thick, and there's two things that we need to keep in mind here, and this is a very difficult balance when we talk about issues. One is the ideal, and so I try to educate to the ideal. The other one is the real, which we have to live in. And so I think Kurt's spot on when he says, hey, you know, the debate isn't should we have Congress do it or the president do it. Obviously, we agree Congress should do it. That's the constitutional way. But in a situation where Congress is not doing their responsibility, the real question in the real, that was the ideal. The real is, hey, should the president defend our border or not? Should he just wait for Congress and not defend the nation? And see, I think that's a worse choice. That's choice C. That's the bad choice. I'd rather have President Trump do what he needs to do rather than nothing, Kurt. I mean, the commander-in-chief does have a responsibility to protect our nation also. And if Congress fails to do their job, the president's got to do something, Kurt.
Yeah, that's
so I'm agreeing with that point. One teaches to the ideal, though, and explains how it ought to be. The other one deals with the real, in my opinion, about, hey, what do you do when things aren't working right? And I think your point is spot on, Kurt. I think it's wise to educate people on both of these things because it is important to understand the way we would love it to be, as Kurt would say. Wouldn't it be nice if Congress took their responsibility seriously? They were pro-peace. They looked towards their constituents for guidance, and the president looked to Congress. The Congress gave appropriate
funding.
Careful
with their spending. Only followed the Constitution. I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff. We weren't basically controlled by the kingmen, the insiders, you know.
Yeah, that'd be the ideal.
Like, wow.
But the real is, hey, what do you do when Congress won't protect the borders? They're too busy, you know, having sex scandals and fighting about spending and whatever they're doing next, going on vacation, I mean recess, or whatever they're doing. And, you know, at some point, Donald's like, look, I've got to protect the nation. I can't blame him, Kurt, when it comes to the United States border. I can blame him when I say he shouldn't have conducted a strike against a foreign nation and he shouldn't have consulted with foreign powers, France and Britain, as his guidance or companions to do this. He should look to Congress. So anyway, there you go. Let's move to Hillary, though. Hillary's in the news, and she spoke to a crowd in Chicago. Kurt, did you see this?
Thank goodness I didn't see this before. And,
and Hillary tells Chicago crowd Trump is promoting racist and white supremacist views, Kurt.
It's just what she normally is going to say, isn't it?
Yeah. The people are tired of it, Kurt.
Yeah.
Don't you think the people are just sick of it? They're just like, are you kidding me? Hillary, you're so washed up, so worn out, so yesteryear. You failed. Quit playing the blame game on the Donald. You lost. You can blame it on Facebook. You can whatever you want to do. But you know what? People are just sick of it, I think. Okay, I don't believe that Donald Trump is a racist or promoting white supremacist agenda. Do you, Kurt? Have you seen any of that from President Trump?
Well, at least in that area, the headline I'm seeing says Trump nominates first black woman to serve as brigadier general in the army. So I guess that's a proof.
Kurt proves it false with a single headline.
Well,
I mean, it's just
I don't get it, you know.
Well, you know, ask Ben Carson if it's true, I would say.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ask David A. Clark Jr. He's helping out with the Trump.
Do you believe your lion eyes? Or
Just ask Jesse Lee Peterson. He supports Donald Trump too, Kurt. And we can go on and on and on.
That's right.
All right, Donald Trump attorney Michael Cohen is under criminal investigation, Kurt.
I'll send you that headline, by the way.
Perfect.
So you've got it.
I'll add it to the notes. What do you think about that? Trump attorney Michael Cohen is under criminal investigation.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking if you want to put under every criminal under, you know, I mean, in a nation like we've got, where we started with the Ten Commandments and the Constitution, and now we have the 10 trillion commandments, you just go, wow. I think pretty much anybody's a criminal, Sam. I mean,
well, they're trying to make it that way, that's for sure.
And this guy, Mr. Cohen, I think is his name.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, he's been working in some rough areas. I mean,
the one that's not a criminal, Kurt, is Hillary, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's scot-free.
I mean, everybody else, you know, but Hillary, hey. All right.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't let her.
Now, pilots are involved in this Donald Trump attack, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, there's, you know, like you say, lots of reports. The headline here, pilots manning aircraft involved in carrying out Trump's serious strike. The Pentagon confirmed that the targeted strike involved putting pilots at risk to carry out the attacks. New York Times reports strikes carried with ship-based cruise missiles and manned aircraft.
Let's talk about that.
I don't know.
Because I thought that the Russians were jamming our aircraft or our drones and such, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Let's talk about that. Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. I got good news about Ace Hardware, though, in seconds as well.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about this situation where you got these pilots manning aircraft involved in carrying out Donald Trump's Syria strike. Kurt, any more details on this one?
No, I guess the main thing is that instead of just the, you know, drones going in or, you know, something being shot from far away, our guys flew over it and dropped some missiles that way.
And that way the Russians can't hack the drones, right, Kurt?
I guess so, Sam.
All right. Interesting. I wonder if sending those troops to fly over that without congressional approval, at what point do we declare or decide it's a war? When are we in a war and when are we not in a war? That's kind of
a fuzzy discussion to have. Good question.
All right, Ray Listener from Alabama, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
How's it going, Sam? How you guys doing?
It's going very well. Ray's a good friend, ladies and gentlemen, from way back. He works with a group called Caritas. Terry and crew over there do a phenomenal job promoting God, family, and country. What do you and Terry say about the strike Donald conducted last night? I'll just quickly tell you where I stand, and then you can talk about it. I say it's a trumped-up war against Syria. That's what Joel Skousen, our buddy, writes. And I say deep state plays the Donald for a sucker, and I submit to you that it's absolutely unconstitutional.
Okay, well, a couple of things. Of course, you know, I think you know where Terry and the rest of us kind of stand when it comes to international law, that, you know, we have pretty clear ideas on, you know, what our role is in the world. You know, Terry doesn't necessarily believe that the United States is the police of the whole world, but we do hold the biggest stick. And in the end, Syria comes down to one thing, Israel. That's really what it comes down to. So whether or not people might agree or disagree with the Syrian strike, it comes down to one thing, the nation with the most Christian values, who has the biggest stick, is really charged with the defense of Israel, even though Israel is perfectly capable of defending herself. Syria is about one thing. It's about Israel. We know that they hate Israel. We know that they hate the existence of Israel. We know that they will do whatever they can to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So in the end, that's really what it comes down to. And for the most part, whether people want to admit it or not, everything that the United States does in the Middle East really kind of essentially points to one thing, and that's really Israel. So we believe that, you know, President Trump, who we very much like, has that very much in his heart. Obviously, you know, there are a lot of things that diplomatically you don't say publicly. You know, you're not going to publicly be so pro in one direction that you appear to be, you know, too much in one direction. And really, in the end, that's really what it comes down to. But, you know, last night, Terry did a radio show last night, and phenomenal radio show. It was about the whole situation with Donald Trump and his attorney and everything. And it was really fantastic stuff, because I think you know where we stand when it comes to God and our nation. And we believe that Donald Trump is there by something that was heavenly given to us. And he's the most unlikely person for the job, the most unlikely candidate. But we're dealing with nasty people, Sam. I think that you know that the people that we are dealing with on the other side who want to take our liberties, who want to destroy our families, these are not nice people. These are very nasty people. And it takes somebody with the guts and the, if you want to call it, crassness of Donald Trump to be able to deal with these kind of people. I don't know that an overly Christian person who's just too nice would be able to deal with these people the way that Donald Trump could deal with them. So, you know, the Syrian strike is really about one thing. It's about wielding the biggest stick. And, it you know, it's relatively limited. So, I mean, are we going to go to war in Syria? Do you really think, Sam, that we actually are going to go to war in Syria?
No, I don't.
Probably not.
No, I don't.
We won't. We're not going to do that. We're too smart to do that. We're not going to do that. But in the end, I think that in the end it comes down to one thing, and that's Syria, Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Anytime you look at anything that happens there, Iran, it's Israel. Iraq, it's Israel. Syria, it's Israel. So, you know, I think that most of the world knows that the United States, you know, is very, for the most part, pro-Israel, and that's going to be our stance. I don't think, and I know that Terry kind of pretty much believes the same thing, and I think he would state it publicly, and he has stated it publicly, I know, in the past, that we have an obligation to respect who they are. And obviously, our belief in Jesus Christ and his role as the Messiah and what he's done in fulfilling the old law, that still does not do away with God's promise to Israel. They're still the chosen people, even though they rejected Christ. They're still the chosen people. They're still God's people, and we still, as a nation, have to respect that. And I think that when you look at Syria, that's really what you're looking at.
I think you got a wise point. I think there's validity to a lot of that. I would kind of look back a little bit and say, number one, I'm not so sure what happened in Syria there. I'm not sure we have the facts on the ground of what really occurred. That's number one. And then number two, I would say we have a constitutional responsibility in America, and we need to be honorable to that. And the more we are honorable to the supreme law of our land, and the more we promote peace and lead with Christianity and peace as opposed to war, the better off we are. And so I don't see the two in conflict necessarily.
Yeah, and again, you know, we're not, like I said, we're not the police of the world, and that's not our role, but we do have the biggest stick. And sometimes, you know, you wield the stick for a limited amount of time just simply to let people know we're here. And so long as you do that, you in the end, you end up protecting your own borders in the end. Because, I mean, really, we very much believe in our own home defense. I mean, that's the bottom line. We have our own home defense here. We're charged with first protecting our own soil first. That includes your private property, my private property. That's the very first place that we need to be defending is our own home, our own homeland, our own borders. But little things like this or things like Syria are the times when you just kind of like send the warning out. And again, diplomatically, people can disagree with that or agree with it or whatever. But my only suspicion about the whole thing was that the major news outlets continued to refer to it as suspected chemical attack. Now, when you got CNN and NBC and the fake news saying things like that, you kind of have to look at, why are they saying that? Is it, number one, is it actually really true? Or number two, how is it that they all have the same line? It's almost like they all read the same script and they all have the same line they all talk the same. And we know these people are not for us. We know these people wouldn't think twice about defaming any one of us or, you know, taking your life if they could. That's the people who are behind this, the George Soros's and the people like that. Those are the people who are behind a lot of the news we hear. So that was my only concern when hearing that news, was that the major news outlets are the ones that are referring to it as suspected chemical attack or alleged. And when you have those news agencies saying those kinds of things, you pretty much, what's like the saying goes, you can tell a person by the friends he has. And I think Kerry wrote that, and when he wrote They Fired the First Shot, I think he said that about Obama. You could tell something about a person by the kind of friends they have, and you can tell the news by who's saying the news. And that's the only thing. Obviously, I'm not privy to national security information. I don't know the facts.
That's right, and that's a valid point to bring up, too, that we don't have all the facts. I know this, the earliest speaker on it that I know of is Justin Amash, who might have some internal intel. And Justin...
Mm-hmm.
Amash says that Syria strikes are unconstitutional, illegal, and reckless. That's his comment.
I mean, the traditional law was, you know, Congress declares war and you know, we act. Obviously, we know that we've been operating under a different sphere since about 1945. Since the National Securities Act, the whole world has acted differently. But again, you know, there are times when, there are times when we 100% believe in our Constitution. We believe it's godly, actually. We believe it's Christian in its nature. We believe it's Christian in its structure. Even though our law is based on Roman law, the premise of it is Christian in its nature.
Judaism. Well, the checks and balances are similar to the Godhead in the sense of you know...
It's Christian.
There's power in three.
It's
Judeo-Christian in its teaching and its effort to promote peace, to be a beacon on a hill. And I think that's what you're referring to when you say we have the biggest stick. I look at it more like we're a beacon on a hill and we have the opportunity to promote peace. One of the things we need to talk about is getting our internal affairs together.
Absolutely.
And when we come back, I want you to stay with us for a second. We'll talk about They Fired the First Shot. And we'll talk about the book Terry wrote, because I think it's relevant in these discussions today. We do want to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. And you know what? One of the great opportunities in America is to learn from one another.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, our buddy Ray chimes in from Alabama. A friend of, how do you say it, Ray?
Medjugorje.
Medjugorje? Yep. Is that how it's said?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and Ray, just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, a little behind the scenes. Yesterday, I was selling my raw honey, and our buddy David Ballmer called that is down at your place, and I think that's where we first met him when we were there years ago with Sheriff Mack of the CSPOA,
right.
And you know, he was kind enough to let me know of the event that's going on there, and I suggested to him, I said, man, it'd sure be good to catch up with those guys, and,
yeah.
You know, you never get everything done that you'd like to do, and so as part of the, I guess you could say, our morning broadcast, so we do 6 days a week, 7 to 9 Mountain Time, 9 to 11 Eastern, you know, I suggested, hey, maybe you have Ray give us a call. And so David, man, I'll tell you what, he's on duty working this, working the job, doing his best. And so I'm sure that's what he did, passed that word on to you. As a result of that, I didn't give Sam the proper information, so he's not equipped with your website and different things.
Yeah, it's
things,
kind of a sad tale. I think
as
it's
he usually does.
.com, right?
That's right, MEJ.com, that's correct.
So, So anyway, help us out as best you can. We one thing we can never say enough is how and much we enjoyed being at your place, being there. I mean, we had friends and food and fun. We got to broadcast in your fantastic facilities. It was fantastic, and we can't say thank you enough.
Yeah, so listener Ray chimes in talking about the book, They Fired the First Shot, and it's written by Terry, is it Delafrancisco?
Colafrancisco, right.
Telefrancisco, is that how you say it?
Yep.
All right, see, I try to get this stuff together so I don't look like an idiot on the radio. That's all.
Well, nobody can see you on the radio anyway, Sam.
There you go, good point. Anyway, I try to do my best to have my act together so I can be a great host and bring it out and focus on it. But the website is MEJ.com. They Fired the First Shot is an incredible book written in 2012 by a friend of
Medjugorje, that's right.
Medjugorje. And it really talks about there's disorder in the family, there's disorder in the economy, there's disorder everywhere. And the premise really is that our nation was built to promote the freedom of religion, of Christianity, because God can change that disorder into order. Is that about it?
Pretty much. I mean, basically, you know, the way Terry kind of explains it is very simple, is that the United States and I'm sure that there's a lot of praying people in a lot of countries, but the United States is Christian by its nature. So it would be like in our creation, the actual creation of our nation is Judeo-Christian in its creation. So it wasn't like a bunch of Christian men just decided, hey, we're going to just make a Christian country. It really wasn't like that. It was a culmination of events that came together that formed this nation that were Christian in nature. So to give you a very short history lesson, if you were to take the time that Jesus came and the Holy Spirit came down, the apostles, and they raised communities up, and these communities divided and raised up more communities, and over the course of centuries, these Christians infiltrated, if you will, government, law, a lot of different areas, and over the course of about 1,700 years or so of this refinement of government, it culminated into the birth of our country. So it was, like I said, it wasn't like a bunch of Christian men just kind of sat down and just said, hey, folks, let's just make a Christian country. It didn't really work that way. It was the culmination of 1,700 years of Christianity reviving, renewing, and refining government.
In a way, you could say the Great Restoration, couldn't you?
It basically was, if you could, you know, you could take, you know, it was a constant refinement, the constant polishing of government, of how government should work, of structure and self-governing, people who were self-governed themselves. And that refinement eventually, you know, found its culmination in our Declaration of Independence, which was a declaration of Jesus Christ as king or sovereign over his people. So when our nation does anything other than that, we are going against our nature. So it would be like, you know, if you wake up in the morning and your dog is acting like a cat, okay, you would say, there's something wrong with my dog. You know, if your dog continues to act like a cat, you're either going to just have to put up with him, or B, you're going to have to put him to sleep. Because, I mean, there's just something wrong with my dog. My dog shouldn't act like a cat. Likewise, if you had your cat just started acting like a dog, it's not its nature. A dog is a dog. A cat is a cat. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. So anything outside
of that. Oh, imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that refreshing?
Well, anything outside of that is not of God. So basically the premise of what Terry was writing in They Fired the First Shot is that if our nation does anything outside of its nature as Christian, then we're in for major correction from God.
And it's important for us to stand up, to set the record straight, to lay out how it ought to be and the way it should be, and to do our best to testify of God, of his creations, of the great restoration of the freest country on the face of the earth, to set up this beacon on a hill that you speak of, sir.
And also to point out that the things that need to be pointed out, like I mentioned before, you know, sometimes that you know, you can't necessarily have the nicest, most Christian person sitting in the White House right now because you're dealing with really nasty people. And it takes somebody of his character who knows how to deal with those kind of people to be able to deal with those kind of people. So one of the things that Terry wrote in They Fired the First Shot is he pointed out very much what Obama was doing. And he said, quote, and I have never read it anywhere else before this. I've never heard it anywhere else. He literally said, quote, Obama is an evil man. Now, that is something that nobody was willing to say. Nobody wanted to say. They said, well, you clearly can't judge. You can look at the actions, and you can look exactly at what he's doing, and you know this man is evil. You know that what he was doing was evil. He's done more harm to this country than anybody has ever done in the history of our nation. He did things behind the scenes that a lot of people did not know about. And just, you know, if that book was written in 2012 before the Obama second term, if you go and you read that book right now, you're going to say this is exactly what's happening right now. But, you know, you would never have known it in 2012. 2012, you would have looked at it and said, okay, maybe it's a little bit far-fetched. But, you know, Terry begins the whole book by saying one thing. Sun Tzu says, know your enemy and know yourself.
A friend of Medjugorje, ladies and gentlemen, Terry Calafrancesco writes the book, They Fired the First Shot. It's available on Amazon or at MEJ.com. It's incredible. And I agree that Barack Obama was a wicked man. Donald Trump has actually spent his first year doing his very best to undo. Really, it's been a great undoing, if you will, of what behind the scenes Barack Obama put in place. And I commend Donald for that. And I think Donald's done a lot of things right. Primarily, his pro-life stance has been commendable.
Well, sure.
By the way, Sam, they even have the audio version available on their website, so that's
pretty
cool. Sure,
you can download that dude and listen while he's selling honey. There you go. That's great.
But even, you know, if you read the scriptures, you know, you'll read how many kings went against God. And you know, the Bible repeatedly tells us King so-and-so did evil in the sight of the Lord, but because of his promise to David that one of his would always sit on the throne, then, you know, God honored that, and God continued to honor that all the way until, you know, the son of David came, which was Jesus. So up until all that time, God honored that someone from David would sit on the throne of Israel, even though they did evil. So God has continually honored his promise to us and to our nation. But when you read, especially like in Chronicles and so forth, you'll read that it said King so-and-so did good in the sight of the Lord. And what did he do? The Bible gives us very clear examples of what he did. He tore down the high altars. He got rid of the priest. It doesn't sound like what he did was really nice. It sounded like he was very harsh almost in what they did. Some of the kings that did good or that were holy in the sight of God, they tore down the evil. And what you're seeing right now with Donald Trump, that's exactly what you're seeing right now. He's tearing down evil, and evil is, well, what Terry said it on the radio show last night, evil is naked and it's exposed like it's never been before. And it knows that it's naked and exposed, and it has to act very, very swiftly and very quickly right now. Otherwise, it's going to completely lose its foothold of what it has right now.
Well, no doubt we pray for the good. No doubt we pray for Donald and all those who are trying to affect good and change in America. And it's a tough battle for sure. And I don't think Donald makes all the right choices, as you wisely pointed out. But we got to give him credit for the ones that he does make. Ray, thank you so much, sir.
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you guys.
All right. They Fired the First Shot. Incredible book. Read it, ladies and gentlemen. It's incredible. MEJ.com, the website. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Got a several news stories to cover in the final segment of the show today. Thank heavens for listener Ray chiming in, though. Great stuff from Alabama and from the group over at MEJ.com. Their book, They Fired the First Shot, incredible understanding about the Founding Fathers, about the reason for our nation, about solutions, that the family and the economy and everything else is in disorder. There is a way to bring order, folks, and it's to turn to God. That's for sure. All right. There's good news, by the way, I want to bring to your attention today. Looks like Ace Hardware was one of the groups or the companies that turned against Laura Ingraham and said they wouldn't advertise with her. But you know what? They're the first company to say we did not have all the facts. We're going to go ahead and research, and they did, and they came back and said, listen, we are going to stand by Laura Ingraham, and we agree to resume advertising on her show. And I want to say I've really, really appreciated Ace Hardware over the years, and I want to commend them for digging a little bit deeper. And this is where the mainstream press and the news just lie, and you know what? A lot of the good people get deceived, unfortunately. But this is an example where Ace Hardware did a little more digging, gained a little more understanding, and they're doing the right thing. They say, look, we're going to support Laura Ingraham. We're going to continue advertising on our show, and I think it's a wise move by Ace Hardware. It's also a wise move by the folks that make those pillows that are having tremendous results by staying with Laura Ingraham. Now, Laura is not my personal favorite host. I think she does a good job, not a great job. I think she could be a lot more constitutional and hard-hitting and those kinds of things. But nevertheless, I really want free speech to be available in America. And I don't like it when you basically just say, hey, because Laura said something you don't like, we're going to shut down all of her support. I don't agree with that. So I'm glad that Ace Hardware is supporting Laura Ingraham. And I want to say another thing about Ace Hardware. I really like Ace Hardware stores. They're a small hometown store. Most of them are independently owned or under kind of a franchise concept. Don't call me up and beat me up if I don't have the exact structure perfect on Ace Hardware's. I just know that when I go in there, they're independently owned. They're ran by families. They've got people there that are knowledgeable and help you with your projects. They're smaller stores. We don't feel like, man, I'm in this big, massive warehouse. How do I walk for a mile to find somebody that then is going to try to run away from me or not answer my questions or whatever or not know anything about what I'm trying to do? Hey, there are stores that are smaller in footprint. You feel like you can know people and they know you, and you go in week after week working on your different projects, buying a light bulb or getting a sprinkler head or getting a piece of wood or cut or a key made or replacing a door handle that went bad on your door or whatever. And these guys are helpful. They have answers. They're knowledgeable. They can help you through your projects. And when you go in there, it smells like popcorn. And they give you free popcorn. It tastes phenomenal. And you go in there on a Saturday and you just feel good about working on your projects. And you got a question or two. And, you know, they call themselves the helpful hardware folks. And I love that slogan. They just do a good job. And when they defend Laura Ingraham, I even like them better. So I'm going to go into my local Ace Hardware store, call them up one of these days here soon, and I'm going to stand for and with Ace Hardware, and I'm going to tell them that I appreciate it. I want to tell them thank you. The other thing that Ace Hardware does, and by the way, I don't get any money from this, though. I have in the past when I've owned a radio station, and I have in the past from time to time a little bit, but that's not why I'm talking about them. They do have local co-op money where the national, you know, Ace Hardware organization helps out local stores to advertise and such. And so they bring back a model, in my opinion, of success that I would love to see more of in America today. Very small footprint stores, but not, you know, super small, just compared to the massive stores. They're more modest rollouts, but done so in a hometown by a family or families that own it, that live there, that are interested in their community. They hire local people. The people come in and have knowledge and help you. They create an atmosphere of you know, of really, it's about you, the consumer, the customer. And they're very customer-centric. Anyway, I can't go on and say enough about Ace Hardware's and the pattern they've set and the job they do. That's really important to me. Really important to me. So I'm grateful for the chance to speak out about Ace Hardware. And they're standing up for what matters. In contrast to the good news of Ace Hardware and Laura Ingraham and others, I don't know if you know who former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq is, but the guy's name is Joe Wilson. And former Ambassador to Iraq, Joe Wilson, let the F word slip on MSNBC's Katie Couric program. Can you believe this? Yeah, so he drops the F-bomb on her show. What a disgrace. Wow. Joe Wilson, I'm disappointed in you, sir. What a shame. And Katie and everybody, it was all awkward. No one knew what to do. And you know what? I agree with free speech, folks. But you don't have the right to subject a network and the FCC and all the families up and down the line to that kind of garbage. Please stop. Please get a quality of guests that are a little bit more dignified, a little bit more restrained in their language, a little more appropriate in their rhetoric. I mean, come on. So Joe Wilson, that's the guy we have as the ambassador. Former ambassador to Iraq, huh? No wonder Iraq isn't one of our best friends, you know? We got that guy representing us. What a disgrace. Anyway, there you go. The FCC will probably do nothing about it. And the United States declines to call China a manipulator of currency. Now, on the election trail, Donald did it big time. He said, hey, these people are dishonest. They're currency manipulators. We're going to go ahead and do something about that once I get elected. We're going to. Well, a promise broken by the Donald. I'm here to praise him when he keeps his promises, but I'm also here to call him to account when he doesn't keep the promises, and it's declining to call China a currency manipulator. This is the third time since Mr. Trump assumed the presidency that the Treasury Department opted not to call or accuse China of, quote, improper meddling. Now you would say, well, that's the Justice Department. That's not Donald. Yeah, but I haven't really heard President Trump speak out about it since either. He doesn't talk now. He used to tell you how they're a currency manipulator and we're going to stop it. Now he doesn't say anything. But the United States is a currency manipulator too, folks. Just ask the unconstitutional Federal Reserve about that. We manipulate interest rates. We manipulate the monetary value of our dollar. We print money, which devalues. We create inflation, which literally is a hidden tax against the people. We're as much of a currency manipulator as China is. But I find that fascinating. It was the third time since President Trump assumed the presidency that the Treasury Department declined to say China's even meddling. Because they know full well what will happen is China will say, you guys meddle in your currencies too. And they'd be correct, by the way. The Chinese would be right on that. Also, Trump, sad to say, is reversed course. Trump has found new appeal in the, quote, regional trade pact that he used to call the rape of our country. Officials in Japan, Australia, and New England. Japan, Australia, and New Zealand reacted coolly on Friday to Mr. Trump's remarks that he would be interested in rejoining the Trans-Pacific Partnership after being so publicly against it just a year ago. So now Donald Trump wants to get involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership again? The TPP again? So let me get this right. Donald used to call this trade pact a rape of America. He literally said China's a currency manipulator. Now he won't say China's a currency manipulator. And now he wants to rejoin the trade group that's a rape on America. By the way, China's trade surplus with the United States soars. First quarter hits $58.25 billion, up nearly 20% from last year. I kid you not. What do you think of that? Up nearly 20%. So Donald's right when he says we need to do something about that. He's right. We need to do something about China. Now, the problem is China's just attacking us relently, acting like we're the bad actors. Our own people are acting like Donald Trump's a racist and an isolationist. None of it's true. I am very concerned about the trade war, the physical war, the moral war, the culture war, the info wars, all these things. I'm very concerned about all this. And I hope you are as well. And I want you to know that I look to God, family, and country for my solutions. I look to scriptures and God's law. I look to family because I believe that's the fundamental need of society, where 90% of the world's problems can be solved with good, honest individuals obeying God's laws and teaching their children to do the same. Unified spouses in the sacred obligation of carrying out their duties as husband and wife, as father and mother, and teaching their children about God's laws. So I believe in the family, and I believe country. We can look at the greatest country on the face of the earth, a beacon on a hill. We do carry the biggest stick. We need to be very careful with that. And we are a beacon on a hill. And there has been a march towards liberty with the founding and the creation of the United States of America. And thank heavens for this wonderful land. And I know we have problems. I get it. But I also know we have solutions. And I know where to look for the solutions. And I want to help others know where to look for the solutions. I don't want to be always running and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I want to be looking in the right places for the right answers and then implementing the right solutions. And I look to God, family, and country for that. I look to the Constitution as the political religion of our nation, if you will. It should be the blueprint for constitutional proper role of limited government. One of the greatest governments that has ever been known to man. We were a Judeo-Christian country. I pray we still are. Some question that and say we're not anymore. There's no doubt we've turned our back on a lot of the principles that made America great. But I still maintain we are a Christian nation. And I still maintain that there's a lot of good people in this free country doing a lot of good things. And Ray and Terry and those guys from Caritas down there in Alabama are a couple of examples of my point. Kurt Crosby, and there's many people doing great things. And we've got to keep hearing from those people. We've got to keep promoting these organizations and these books and these videos on Liberty Roundtable Live. I don't make a penny. I'm not asking for money on that. We need to bring people together that represent groups that are working tirelessly to defend the freest country on the face of the earth, to defend the principles that make America great, to provide the guidance. I'm grateful for Justin Amash saying this strike is unconstitutional. Okay? I really want to focus on this. It's unconstitutional, it's illegal, and it's reckless. I think Justin Amash is spot on that reality, ladies and gentlemen. And I really want to make sure we understand that and do what we can to call good good and evil evil, and to stand for principles and teach the ideal and live in the real and do our best to make the two as congruent as we possibly can. I can't fix it all, but I can do my part. That is what we intend to do. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. If you donate, we'd be grateful. Every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. Our website for live and on-demand radio free. If you believe it's of value, please reciprocate and donate today. That's libertyroundtable.com and libertynewsradio.com. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? We declare this nation shall endure.